You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
This episode is brought to you by Kia's first three-row all-electric SUV, the Kia EV9. With available all-wheel drive and seating for up to 7 adults, with a 0 to 60 speed that thrills you 1 minute, and available reclining lounge seats that unwind you the next. Visit kia.com/EV9 to learn more. Ask your Kia dealer for availability. No system, no matter how advanced, can compensate for all driver error and or driving conditions. Always drive safely.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network in association with MSW Media. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my very, very special guest is the executive producer of The Stephanie Miller Show, Jody Hamilton. We love Jody. I'm so excited. But before we get into the show, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Jody Hamilton. Welcome to the last Start Me Up of 2023, Jody.
You had to think about the year.
I know, it's like
2023.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me on again. I love being on your show.
Oh, well, and it's been, I think, since April. And part of the reason is because now you're all so super important, being an executive producer of the Stephanie Miller Show and all that. So congratulations.
Yeah, super
officially.
Fancy.
It is. And I just want to say a belated congratulations on air, because, of course, you know, I told you off air. But how's it going? I'm sure you're loving it, but, you know, what's it like to do that?
Well, okay, so my job is basically, you know, scouring news, mm-hmm. right, and getting her things that are topical, obviously, because mm-hmm. it's a daily show, and then getting her the stories. That's one part of my gig. We get between 12 and 20 stories, depending on the day. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of my gig is obviously booking guests. Mm-hmm. That's another part of it, which can be somewhat frustrating sometimes, because you can't, like, if somebody hasn't gotten back to me yet, right. I can't try to book somebody at the same time because I got to wait for the no. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that's not fun.
I know.
I also have to edit sound bites.
Right. Oh, interesting. Okay. But I bet
I've literally woken up in the morning, because I go to bed at, you know, 5, because I'm up at 2:30.
Oh, my God.
And so I literally have gone to bed with a complete show done, 20 sound bites ready to go, everybody's booked and ready, and then something happened overnight, mm-hmm. and I have to throw away the show.
Oh, man, that sucks. Wow. I mean, and I don't know how you can handle going to bed at 5. Oh, my God, that would drive me nuts.
Well, I've been an early riser for a long time. I mean, not 2:30 in the morning, but right. even when I was going out at night, I'd still get up at 7.
Wow.
You know, I was
That's
impressive.
I'm up.
So the hours are weird, and they're only weird because, like I said, if something breaks overnight and I'm asleep while it's happening, mm-hmm. I wake up at, you know, 2 o'clock or whatever in the morning and go, holy shit, I now have a completely different show to produce today.
Fun. You know? So, okay, let me just ask you, does that mean that you just don't do anything? Like, you just don't go to dinner with people and stuff like that? I mean, COVID is...
Not during the week. No, God, no.
Right.
Fridays and Saturdays I can go out. Okay. You know, in fact, it was funny for a couple of weeks in November, or actually a couple weeks ago, I get a text from a friend of Lonnie's and mine, and he and his husband, I'm not sure they're married, but they were like, hey, you guys want to come over to dinner tomorrow? And it was like Thursday. I'm like, well, we have dinner plans on Saturday. So sure, Friday. So we had dinner plans with two friends at their house on Friday. And then I had Angela Shelton of Frangela and her boyfriend on that Saturday after. I'm like, I'm going to need 3 days to recover.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I mean, if we go so out, hard. Like when we went to Sexy Liberal in October, you know, that was a Friday, I think it was. Mm-hmm. No, it was a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I was exhausted until like Tuesday.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because we were there until the end, and then we did the meet and greet and stuff. Wow. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of people and meeting some of her fans that I hadn't met yet. But it was just like, I can't, because we didn't get home until midnight.
Wow. God, that must be so tough. I just can't. I mean, I'm such a baby. When I worked for, there was this period of time that I was an outside sales rep. And it was funny because I was always trying to find my home and I never found it. But I found this one job selling. I sold industrial chemicals and I liked that. But long story. I stopped working for them and a headhunter found me. And so I worked for a janitorial supply. And I did find out that what you sell does matter. I used to think didn't matter, but oh my God, yes, it mattered. But one of the things that I was not told was that you know, there could have been, I knew that this would happen, that they, one of their specialty products was like this, I don't know what you would call it, but it was something you put on a gym floor to keep it shiny. I know there's an official term for it and I should know it because I sold it, but like a sealant or whatever. But they had like this special product. So that would be early days, right? So you'd go to a gymnasium in the summertime at like, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and then you would redo the gym floor. So I was totally prepared for that. But I didn't know there was this one particular college and they wanted us to do this whole assessment, which meant that I had to be there at 5 o'clock in the morning on random days whenever this guy decided he needed somebody. So it's not like I regularly woke up to be somewhere.
Right.
It was so horrible. And I'd have to go to bed at like 7 o'clock. And I was so fucking miserable. I hated it so much. And I don't know why. I think there's just this part of me that likes to have I can wake up early and everything, but I like my nights to myself. You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's just this thing about me, and like, I'm very selfish with my nighttime, and I want it to myself, and I want to enjoy myself and have fun. And I feel like if I have to go to bed too early, then I'm robbed of that. So I don't know. It's just how my
Lonnie brought in a flyer that was dropped off at our house before I came back from work. And he's like, hey, so they're doing this thing in our neighborhood again this year for Christmas. Maybe we should go. It's from 5 to 8 on Saturday. I went, oh, that's late.
Aww.
Oh my, and we're going to go see Randy Rainbow next month.
Oh my God.
The day after my birthday. Because he's in town. And he asked my mom if she wanted to go. And she said she couldn't. So she says, Randy, would you? And so he's put me on the list. But that's a Saturday. And it's downtown. I'm like, okay, I can do Randy Rainbow for 2 hours. I can handle it. I can do this.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm so jealous. I want to go see Randy Rainbow.
You need to. Next time he's back anywhere near you, you've got to see him. He's so good.
I love him. I think everybody loves him. I just want to quickly say, I do intend to get to politics. But we're going to have other things to talk about before the politics. So just FYI, people. I do also want to mention that it is your sister. It would have been your sister's 60th birthday.
Yeah, it's my brother's 66th birthday.
Wow.
Two moms, 6 years apart. So not twins.
Okay.
Not even close. So happy birthday to my brother, John Hamilton. Yeah, Carrie would have been 60 today.
Wow. And I told you when you came to visit that my friend is a dancer and he was in a scene on Fame with Carrie. And Carrie was singing in that scene and my friend was just, you know, dancing around her. But it's just so funny. Our little 6 degrees of, I mean, here you've been to my house and in my bed. But then we also have people out there who kind of are degrees of separation and all that. But you know what? I had a Christmas miracle happen.
What?
Guess what my Christmas miracle is? Eve Plum, aka Jan Brady, followed me on Threads. You don't even know.
That's so cool.
I am like, over the fucking moon about this because she, you know, I saw her on Threads and everything and I would like her stuff. And then I followed her and I literally thought she's probably never going to follow me. And then the other day I saw it. And you know what I'm doing? I'm doing this exercise because I have a tendency to, let's say, swim in a shit pool. And when I say swim in a shit pool, it's like, you know, if something bothers me, I think about it too much. Or if something worries me, it's a scab. I keep picking. And I want to stop doing that. And so I'm all into, and we've talked about it before, intentional manifesting. And so one of the things that I'm doing right now is it's a technique. Techniques don't manifest anything. It's what the techniques do to you that help you manifest. So I keep repeating, but I feel it as if it's true. I don't just say the words. I feel the words. Isn't it wonderful? All day long. And sometimes I think about a certain thing, you know, maybe my podcast, and I'll think, isn't it wonderful that something about my podcast? Or I'll think, isn't it just so wonderful that this thing is happening? Whatever it is, and it's something that maybe I want to happen, but hasn't happened. And so I'm living like from that end and not thinking of the thing, but thinking from experiencing it. So it's funny because I just started it, right? And I will say this, for if nothing else, what it does, it stops me from going to the shit pool. And
that's good.
Yeah. So it keeps me in a lighter mood all day. And because I don't know why, but I have this tendency to go to the dark side, especially with politics. And, you know, it's like I'm seeing all this shit going on and I don't want to just start picking at that scab and going down the, oh my God, are we going to become fascist road, which we will talk about in a little bit. But so instead, I just talk about how, and then so I'll just say, isn't it wonderful Biden won and Democrats and voters saved democracy? I just keep, but I feel it. And I have to say that, like I said, you know, even if nothing particular, Jan Brady followed me, so that was pretty fucking wonderful. But, and maybe she would have followed me if I didn't say that, but still, it keeps me in a higher kind of like vibe. I feel just happier throughout the day. So FYI, everybody. And I do talk.
A lot of people do that in November, I think, where they do days of gratitude.
Right. It's true. And I think gratitude is so important. And I keep reminding myself of all the things that I have to be grateful for. Because I think just in a general bigger picture, when you're doing that, when you're focusing on positive things and things that make you feel good, I think you draw more of that energy into your life. And so I talk about all this crap on my What's Up show, just FYI. I love talking about this because I don't preach it. I'm kind of studying it and just talking about my experiences with it and what I think about it, but I'm not like any kind of a coach. So just FYI. I'm not a coach. Also, what was I just going to say? Oh, you know what? I meant to say this at the top of the show. I did say that it was going to be the last show, but I'm going to be doing, let's see, I'm going to be doing my What's Up show tomorrow for everybody who is, you know, on that tier. And then I'll do one more because I'm going to be staying with I'm worried because my mom's going to have knee replacement surgery.
She's going to feel so much better once it's done.
I know, but she's going to have so much hell to go through in the process. And I'm just like, oh God, I'm so worried.
I know people that have had it done and they are just so grateful once it's done.
Right. Yeah.
And because they make you walk immediately. Trust me. I tore cartilage in my knee.
Yeah.
When I was 17, and I also tore ligaments in my ankle. So I wasn't allowed to walk because my ankle was still screwed up. So I had to go to physical therapy for 6 weeks because my knee needed to get worked.
Yeah.
You know, and so she should be able to walk immediately. Most people do.
Yeah, well, that's what, like you know, they gave her this bike. So this guy, like, came to her house and he dropped off the stationary bike. And I guess she has to ride it, I think, like 8 times a day. And it sends information back to them. And what's really cool and I'm grateful is my mother is so fucking type A. And she's such a perfectionist. In fact, when she was working sales, she was doing wine sales and she had a cubicle, which she hated, but she kept it so clean that when she first started working there, people thought she quit. But she's been, you know, she's 76. So she's got, you know, a few issues with her back and everything. So she always works out. And I mean, she's not crazy workout, but she does her working out exercises that are therapeutic for her. Plus she gets exercise on her own. So she's got some, you know, muscle that's already going, which I'm sure will somehow, I hope, help. But she's got it, you know, she's already been doing it. And she will, I know a lot of people don't do their exercises when it comes to recovery and specifically like knee operations. So she is like, she will be an A+ student.
I mean, was funny because I wasn't allowed to walk. I literally lost an inch in mass around my right thigh.
Really? Wow.
Uh-huh. Because I couldn't move it for 6 weeks. I couldn't put any weight on my leg for 6 weeks. Yeah. I was on crutches and I lived in an upstairs apartment with no elevator. So that was fun going to school and on crutches and trying to get to school.
God. Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was college. That was October of 84. Yeah, it was my freshman semester in college.
Crazy. Okay, so I have to tell you something, and I forgot to tell you this too. But I'm also, it's not a Christmas miracle, but I'm so excited because since you were last in my home, I've lost 17 pounds.
Excellent.
I'm just so happy you don't even fucking know. But my sister got married, and that was the trigger for me. And anybody who listens to my What's Up show heard me freaking out about that like for months. And so I just, you know, I figured it out. I won't talk about it too much, but I was having such a hard time losing weight. And I was like, okay, I got to figure this shit out. It's coming off. And so I went on YouTube and I looked up all these women who were over 50 and what they advised. And so the long and short of it is, A, I pretty much had to, in order to lose weight, had to live like a diabetic. And I just incorporated strength training, way more, like 30 grams of protein per meal, 3 meals a day. And then strength training, protein, and low carb. So that combo with a couple other little things here and there really made a difference. So I'm so fucking happy. You don't even know.
I know. I mean, I remember when I quit smoking what year is it? In 2001, I quit smoking. So it's been 22 years.
Wow.
And I gained weight, like most people when you quit smoking.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this isn't acceptable. I can't fit in my clothes. So that's when I started walking.
Uh-huh.
Started walking like 2 years after I quit.
Uh-huh.
And then the other thing I started to do was a food diary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what worked for me. I mean, it took me a long time to lose the 20 pounds that I had gained.
Yeah.
But the longer it takes you to lose it, the more likely it's going to stay off.
Right. Yep.
And I've always noticed, like, you can put weight on really fast. It's going to take twice as long to take it off.
Mm-hmm.
If you put on 2 pounds in a week, it's going to take you 2 weeks to lose those 2 pounds.
Yeah.
That's just how it works.
Yes. And it's not fun, but that's the way
it works. It's not fun. And I remember Lonnie's mom, she's like, well, so how did you lose the weight? And I said, well, I just started walking and I started, you know, writing down what I eat with the calories and everything. Mm-hmm. I practically have it memorized now.
Yeah.
And so that's what I started doing. She goes, well, how long did it take you to lose the weight? I said, about a year and a half. She goes, oh, that's way too long. And I'm like, no. You slowly lose weight that your body gets adjusted to the new weight.
Yeah. Yes. And then also not only that, your mind gets adjusted because if you're like in this mode of, prior to doing this, I was not pigging out. I just wasn't eating the kinds of foods. And when you get older, your body reacts differently and it even your weight is distributed. Like, it's so weird how I can weigh more by a good 20 or 30 pounds than I did in my 30s. Yet I'm thinner and my size is smaller. Like the physical size I wear. So it's so weird to me. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's so hard when you get older. But now that I found out this kind of, and I really did have to make a hardcore effort. It was not just like, oh, half-assed. No, I had to whole ass it and then some. But
well, it's a lifestyle change.
Yes.
I mean, the fact that we use the word diet to mean you're restricting, what you eat is your diet.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what you eat. Yeah. It's your diet. So you might have to change your diet long term.
Right.
But you don't go on a diet. You are already dieting by eating.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. And so, if you have, I mean, I remember when I first started losing weight when I was 13 years old, I not only did I like work out and things like that, it's like this whole mental process of how you perceive food. And so even though I understood food for the most part, prior to this, it was what I was used to eating. And then I had to get a new, I don't know, like I had to think about it differently because you get tied to what you're used to. And then you feel like you're missing out on things. And it's like, it's funny though, because when you get to a point where you're like, okay, I have to lose 30 pounds yesterday, then all of a sudden your preferences don't fucking matter anymore. I don't care how good it tastes. I don't care if it, and you know what I was doing, and I'm going to shut up after this, but I was taking, I've talked about it before, but I was taking something called Ceylon, and it's Sri Lankan, Ceylon cinnamon. I think that's how you say it. And it's so crazy. The reason I started taking it, and it was one tablespoon a day divided into capsules, and then I would have, you know, break it up with meals. But it would, it's supposed to help.
Well, your metabolism, right?
A, your metabolism, but also when you have visceral fat, it helps to, which is called, I think, white fat. It's white or yellow. So
brown fat's good. White fat, not so much.
So white fat, when you take the cinnamon, turns into brown fat, which then you can lose. So the subcutaneous fat. So it does something. It's more than just metabolism. It does something to your fat. And it also acts in the same way. How does this, like, as insulin medicine? I'm not saying don't replace your insulin medicine. Don't do that. But the cinnamon can act in, like, act the same way that when you have diabetes, the way your insulin medication would work. So, or however it works, the insulin carries.
Talk to your doctor.
Talk to your doctor. But I mean, yeah, don't replace anything. But
no.
But just, you know, I mean, because I think I was insulin resistant, and and so I was reading all about it, and that's how I found out about the cinnamon. And you can only do it for like 6 months at a time, and then you have to take a break. I'm taking my break now. But the thing about it, oh my God, it totally curbs your hunger, like to the degree, almost too much. Like I didn't even want to eat. And when it came time for dinner, I had to choke down my dinner, and it was so difficult for me to eat dinner. But it's, but you know, and everybody, when I would tell people like, oh, I need that. And I'm like, trust me, it's not as fun as you think. Because you have to
eat. Like with Sharon Osbourne and Ozempic. Have you heard that?
I haven't, but what's going on with her?
Okay, so apparently because she's wealthy enough that she was given Ozempic for losing weight.
Right, yeah.
And she had her stomach, you know, she had stomach surgery years ago. I think she had lap band surgery. Yeah, mm-hmm. She had lap band surgery. So you can undo that versus what Carney Wilson had.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently she went on the Ozempic and then just kind of stopped eating. She's like, I'm now thinner than I want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it makes you not want to eat, apparently.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, good thing I didn't find that out, you know, when I was bulimorexic. Because that's the kind of drug that, you know, a lot of girls, more so than boys, because girls are affected by anorexia and bulimia more than boys are. Mm-hmm. But I do know a guy that has it. So there's that.
I know too.
Yeah, she said she's so gaunt. She's like, I don't want to be this thin. So she's concerned because obviously they're going to test Ozempic as a weight loss drug for good reason because it's working.
I think though,
But I think it's working too well. So hopefully they're going to figure out how to make it so that it's not so addictive. She said it was addictive.
Interesting. Well, they also, from what I understand, like your stomach can collapse. It can collapse your stomach. So I wouldn't want to take it. And I feel like, and you know, with the cinnamon though, it's crazy because then of course you could just not take it. You know, I didn't take it every day. Sometimes like on Saturdays, I'd always give myself a break. I didn't pig out or anything, but I'd have what I wanted and I wouldn't take them because I wanted to enjoy my food and I couldn't enjoy my food. It was so weird. So anyway, I'm glad that I lost the weight and I'm happy. And it's been 5 fucking years and I finally start to feel like myself again. You know, I'm not, I'd like to lose 10 more pounds or maybe seven pounds. But I finally feel like me and I wish that it didn't matter to me. I really do. But it does. So
no, I understand. I mean, you know, you feel good in your body when you feel good about your body.
Yeah, exactly. And the way you look in clothes, and it's not that I was, you know, ridiculously overweight, but for me, I was just at a place where I wasn't used to being, and I didn't like the way it felt because I had a lot of fat on my stomach, and I hated how that felt in clothes. And I mean, even if I bought comfortable clothes, it was just, I could feel my stomach, or like when I would lay down in bed and lay on my side, my stomach was like touching the bed. I'm like, no, that's not good. So, that's gone now. Yay. Okay. So maybe we should talk about, let's see, hold on. Let me look at my notes here. Okay. All right. I guess we have to talk about politics, and it's making me feel stressed out just thinking about it. So the first thing, I don't know if I know you didn't watch this last night because you were probably sleeping, but...
Rachel Maddow and Liz Cheney, I got it this morning.
Okay, no, I wasn't going to... Not them. Actually, it was... I think it was Chris Hayes. Jen Psaki. It was Jen Psaki. So Jen was talking about, and she had Adam Schiff on. I know she had some other people on, but I think talking about the same thing, just the idea of Trump's threat. I mean, Liz Cheney was sounding the alarm bells too and saying, I don't know why people say, you know, if he gets another term, he's not going to get a term. He's going to get a lifetime appointment that he'll appoint himself. And I don't understand why people don't know this. And what I wanted to ask you is, how are you dealing with this threat that we're facing? I'm trying to chill, but like, I don't know. I'm scared. How are you feeling?
I'm concerned. Obviously. And, you know, plans to move to Mexico if need be. I'm concerned that Liz Cheney might run third party. And the only reason I'm concerned is if Donald becomes the Republican nominee, she will take votes away from Biden. I know that sounds strange. And the reason I say is because moderate, and I use that in quotes,
right,
Republicans are going to vote for Joe Biden if Donald Trump is the nominee.
Yes.
End of statement. But if they have a Liz Cheney who seems normal and is not, they'll vote for her and not Biden. That's where my brain goes. It's like, Kennedy, no, nah. I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about Cornel West. I'm not worried about Marianne Williamson. I'm not worried about any of them. But a Liz Cheney could also get Democrats.
Yeah.
At this point.
A lot of Democrats.
So I really hope that if she's going to do that, don't do it now. Because that will guarantee a Trump at like 42%, like how Bill Clinton took votes, you know, how Perot took votes away from Bush.
Yeah.
She would take votes away from Biden. I guarantee it because I know enough people that still identify as Republicans that voted for Biden that would never have voted for him had it been a John Kasich or a Liz Cheney or somebody like that.
Right. Well, let's hope she realizes that because I agree with you. And I don't, now I have to think about that.
I'm hoping she does. Her ego is her ego. And anybody that runs for president has to have this gigantic ego.
Right.
You just have to.
Yeah.
Or why would you think about it?
Yeah, exactly.
So I get that. And she's, you know, she's part of a legacy with her dad and everything.
Yeah.
And then Democrats love her because she's, you know, pro-democracy. Not really.
I know she's not. And then she also perpetuates the bullshit lie that Democrats are killing babies once they're born. She has never corrected that. She has never apologized for it. And, you know, and I just like to bring up fucking Steve Schmidt. You know, everybody was falling all over him. And I mean, I was falling all over him in that I did appreciate how he spoke in general. Right. We all loved what he said. And I always with anybody, you know, the Lincoln people, the Lincoln Project, or, you know, whether it's Joe Walsh, who I have recently said, I can't deal with you anymore. I always thought, OK, I like what they're saying right now. And this was like, you know, 2017, 18, 19, whatever. But how is it going to be once this is no longer a threat? And so I hope people recognize that we all feel like, oh, Steve Schmidt betrayed us. He's just being Steve Schmidt. You know, he needs
to make a living, and he's decided to be an asshole.
Yeah. And so he doesn't give a shit about democracy. He only cares about getting yet another kitchen and, you know, adding to his generational wealth. And so now liberals and Democrats are like, oh, he's an asshole. So let's realize about Liz Cheney that while it's great that she's talking about, you know, saving democracy and all that, let's remember that she is not the person to vote for. Oh my God. But you know, I know this little podcast is not going to be able to convince the entire nation, but it's just freaking me out. I can't deal with this. I'm trying so hard.
it's funny. We're going to have Michael Steele on Stephanie's show on Friday. I think I have him on. And it's like, yeah, he's the other scorpion that's on the back of the frog. You know, he'll sting you.
Yes.
He's more reasonable than Liz Cheney at this point. But, you know, mark my words, you get a John McCain-ish Republican, who nowadays would be considered liberal. That guy's going to get elected. Guaranteed. It's the Trumpism is what a lot of people that are still Republican,
yeah,
because they're not paying attention, they don't want him mm-hmm. at all. They want a John Kasich. They want a Liz Cheney. They want these people that are going to lower their taxes yeah. and stop more abortion right. for some strange reason. You know, it's just, I don't get it. I never will get it. I mean, I have a very good friend of mine from high school who's like, well, I don't like regulations. I'm like, oh, so you don't want your water regulated? Well, no, I want that. What about air? Yeah, no, I want that. Okay. Mm-hmm. What about and it's like, what regulations don't you like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to wear a seatbelt? I mean, what?
I mean, and that's a choice, and you'll get a ticket.
Right.
You know, exactly, and there's yeah. a reason for that. Because Ralph Nader, thank you for some of the things he did well.
Right.
He was like fighting for seatbelts in cars to be a standard.
Yeah.
Because before the 70s, seatbelts were a luxury item.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were. And we did not wear them. Yeah.
You know, and insurance companies were all for these because it saves them money if mm-hmm. you don't die in a car wreck.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Oh my God. I don't, I mean, the people in this country, I don't know if I can have faith. I know I have faith in young people. I'm a little concerned.
I totally do.
Yeah. I'm concerned about women. And the reason I say that is because in the last election that we had, I think it was Kentucky. Wasn't it Kentucky where a whole bunch of people registered to vote after Roe v. Wade was overturned, but then only 30% of those people showed up to actually vote. So, hey, it's better than nothing. And we got that 30% to vote that maybe we wouldn't have had before. But still, I don't understand how it can be so important to you one day and then the next year, like, I don't care anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, people have their lives, unfortunately, and don't marinate like we do.
Yeah.
In this, I mean, I joked with a friend of mine years ago when I wasn't working with Stephanie yet. And he goes, you don't know anything about the Kardashians or Brangela? I'm like, okay, Brangela is Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, right? And he goes, yeah, this is how long ago this was. This is important. I'm like, no, I care about the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Well, why? Because it affects your life. Mm-hmm. And he's like, but no. I'm like, yeah, more than Brangela.
Yeah, more. A lot more.
Oh, both very nice people, by the way. I've met them both and they're very nice. And she is just stunning and so is he. It's just like two very pretty people. Anyway, but it's like, no, I don't care about I'm so happy I've never seen an episode of the Kardashians.
Yeah, me neither. And I never,
you know, and you know, God bless Paris Hilton and her baby. you know, but it's like, I don't, that stuff doesn't matter to me. And it really never did that much, even when I was younger.
Yeah. Well, I wish I was more political when I was younger, because I you know, I did focus not on the Kardashians, but just on other shit. Mostly, you know, if I liked some guy.
Well, of course. Well, I know, I understand that, but it's like, because I remember it was a Carter in 76, Carter Ford election. Mm-hmm. And I was 9. And we actually, at my grade school, we had mock debates.
Wow.
Like somebody's playing Carter, somebody's playing Ford. Mm-hmm. You know, and my family is pro Carter. And so when he got elected that November, we were all really happy. Mm-hmm. And I was 9. You know, my mom got involved with trying to get the ERA passed around 75, 74, 75 with my sister Kathy, who said, hi, you can help. So, I mean, you know, I've been around politics. Like, my sister Kathy's political. My sister Nancy is also political, super duper, mm-hmm. both of them. And so there's that section of my family that's uber political, and then the rest entertainment people. So it's all entertainment, just depending right. on how pretty you are, I guess. That my sisters are beautiful, by the way. But I mean, it's, you know, I've been around it for, I can't not remember paying attention.
Yeah. My mom was paying attention and I wasn't. I mean, she talked, especially throughout the Bush presidency. I understood what was going on because of her, but I couldn't have talked about it with too much authority. You know, but obviously, I started voting, though. At least I will give myself the credit for starting to vote in 19. Well, it was for Bill Clinton. And then that was my first. And then you know, I became incredibly interested. I would say probably like when I became hyper interested, it was Sarah Palin who got me hyper interested.
Yeah.
And then I really got into it in 2012. I mean, that I was paying attention, but in 2012 is when I started blogging and everything. Okay, I want to change the subject because I have to ask about your mom. Isn't your mom going to be on a new show?
Yes, it's called Palm Royale.
Okay.
It's going to premiere sometime in March.
Okay.
Last she heard. She's seen it.
Okay.
She saw all 8 or 9 episodes that they shot. It's on Apple TV.
Uh-huh.
And it takes place in the 70s in Florida. And she's in a coma for a lot of it. And she's funny in a coma. But regardless, she said that if Kristen Wiig doesn't win every award.
Really? Wow.
There is no God.
So, and of course, for those of you who don't know, Jodi's mom is Carol Burnett. So, but wow.
It's my mom. It's mom, Allison Janney, Josh Lucas, Kristen Wiig, Laura Dern. I mean, it's
wow.
A hell of a cast.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And Laura and Kristen are two of the producers as well.
Are you going to be going to the rap parties and did you go to any rap?
Oh,
parties?
They rapped. God.
Did you go?
They rapped a long time
ago.
Did you go? They haven't been doing anything because of the strike.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And so mom couldn't even talk about it. Mm-hmm. Nobody could talk about it. So now, and she did see all, she said literally Kristen Wiig's performance in this series is Oscar worthy. Unfortunately, she can't win it unless
right.
they put it in the theater, but they couldn't because it's like 9 episodes. She said that if Kristen Wiig doesn't win Emmys and Cable Ace Awards or whatever the fuck, you know, there is no God.
I'm so looking for. So what's it called again? Palm Royale?
Palm Royale. It was going to be called something different. And oh, Ricky Martin, the singer,
uh-huh.
He plays mom's partner.
Okay.
We'll put it that way.
That's so cool.
But no, I mean, it's a hell of, we went down one day for shooting. God, it was in 2021 or 22. I forget. It was post-vaccine, but pre-Omicron. So 21 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one day and my mom's character was in a coma at the time. And Kristen Wiig and Josh Lucas had to roll her over to find this thing. And my mom is funny in a coma. I mean, literally, and my mom's husband had a great idea because her character's in a coma. But the way her character is, uh-huh. Brian said to the producer and the director, shouldn't her boyfriend, Ricky Martin, be doing her hair and makeup every day so she looks pretty? So they did that. They had him coming in and touching up her makeup
wow.
and her hair. Because it's funny.
Oh, my God. I'm so looking forward to this.
I'm so looking forward to it.
Wow.
I can't
so
wait
fun.
To see it. I'm like, Mom, can you send it to me? She's like, oh, I can't.
I can't break the Hollywood rules.
I cannot do that. It would be, you know. And my mom now is playing Wordle with Allison Janney.
Oh, my God. That's so fun.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh.
And oh my God, she's so pretty. She was a monster. She won the Oscar.
Oh, Charlize Theron.
Yeah, Charlize Theron.
Oh my God, she's so beautiful.
How are you friends with all these people again?
I know. You have to go get them all in a room and just like videotape them for us.
I know. I'm like, can I be on that Wordle thing? I'm not very good at it, but can I try? Yeah, and I think it's also, God, there's somebody I'm forgetting. It's just like, really, Mom? Don't you know anybody adorable or talented or anything? Funny. Nobody with any talent. She's in. I mean,
no,
it's like
shit.
Ridiculous. She's like, yeah, I do the Wordles with them. I'm like,
well,
oh my God, Mom.
She's American royalty when it comes to, you know, entertainment. We all love
her. Well, I mean, I met Ms. Janney once. She's really tall. She's tall like you.
Yes, I heard. And you know what? You know what's funny? I think when I like first started dating Bob, early on, I asked him, you know, what kind of celebrity women do you have crushes on? And Allison is one of them.
Well, she's funny.
And I just think that's like, that's not what you usually hear. And I was like, that is so fucking cool. Because Allison.
No, and
I mean,
she's, well, you know, his obsession with the West Wing.
Yes, of course. Yes, I know his obsession very well. But it's like, I just appreciate that his taste in women isn't always so obvious. You know what I mean? Sometimes he'll mention someone. In fact, he thought I initially, who did he say that I looked? Oh, I know. What is her name? The woman, Okay, she was in Boys Don't Cry, and she played the love interest.
Oh, Chad Lowe's ex-wife.
I can't think of her name. Why can't I think of her? I see her face, but I can't think of her name.
She was on 90210.
She was?
Hold, please. Hold your on. Call is very important. I'm going to Google this.
I know.
Because now I know her
psycho.
Face. I can picture her.
She was an American.
Right, everybody's
psycho,
screaming at us right now. Like, dudes, right. It's so-and-so.
Chloe Sevigny. That's who I'm talking about.
Yes.
Sevigny, however you say her name. I don't think I look anything like her, but he thought I looked like her. So it's like, okay, whatever. But I guess he liked her. So.
Well, Chloe Sevigny is an amazing actor.
She is. But I just don't think I look like her. You know, like, I don't think we resemble each other.
No.
Thank you.
But you're a tall blonde, so there's that.
Oh, my God. Okay, okay, I want to go back to politics now. So, well, this isn't really politics, but it's kind of politics. It's just crazy. So what do you think is going to happen with X, formerly known as
Oh, it's
Twitter?
Going away. We're all going to buy it for like $10.
So you think, okay, all the advertisers are leaving, and then, you know, Elon had that crazed, unhinged interview last week where he was telling all the advertisers to fuck off, and he kept telling, you know, Earth will decide. I love how he kept referring it to as Earth, as if the planet right. is going to decide, as opposed to the people living on the planet. But yeah, he's fucking nuts, and I think it's going to crash too. So do you think everybody's just going to leave? Is that how it's going to all work out, that we're all just going to
go as soon as advertisers really go, well, there's no place we're talking into a void. Hi, MySpace. Hi, Friendster. As soon as they realize we're talking into a void, I never joined Friendster, by the way. I was
Neither
like,
did
why
I
have friends? Why do I need to join that? But literally, take a page out of those two yeah. social media networks.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, platforms, excuse me. Mm-hmm. They died because people left them. For whatever reason, people left Friendster for MySpace, and for whatever reason, people yeah. left MySpace for Facebook. Facebook has figured out how to keep people. Mm-hmm. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
The little fucker. But Elon is, I think he's actively trying to turn it into Telegram or some shit.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I still have the theory. He got the money from the Saudis, and I just don't, mm-hmm. you know, obviously the dude is a chaos agent. He believes he's God. He has a God complex. Well, not like the God, but a God, maybe.
Right.
He is, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say this, but Rachel Bitticoffer said she has a high-functioning autistic son and feels that he is autistic.
Oh, yeah, he definitely has autism. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it appears that. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not making a diagnosis. I'm just throwing it out there for anybody.
And I think Ron DeSantis is on the spectrum, too.
Probably, I would assume. But I think that, you know, I said this on the last show because I was talking with Jay Arnold, and I'm just a little concerned that, you know, I mean, like, my Threads is building pretty quickly, and the reason it's building quickly is because more and more people are coming over. And, yep. you know, oh, my God, if you have a... What it reminds me right now on Threads, it reminds me of Facebook before they throttled it. And
yeah.
anybody who was a fucking blogger in 2013 knows that it was, I just like to call it the wild, wild west of social media, because shit would just explode. It would explode. And nothing was throttling it until, you know, he started accepting rubles for spreading, you know, disinformation, and Congress wants to talk to him, and then all of a sudden, like, you know what? No more political speech. So he's just throttling all this, you know. I think he's gonna, and he said specifically, Threads was not for politics, and all the political people are running over there, and they're running over there because it's a site that they feel, you know, is run by somebody who knows how to run sites, and I don't know, you know, that it's familiar or whatever. It's connected to. It was really smart that it was connected to IG because so many people are already there. So it's just mm-hmm. like one little natural step. But my concern about Threads is that it's going to start throttling the political posts next year, because this is the year that
probably it... because he knows where his bread is buttered. I mean, this kid is, what is he? He's not even 50 yet, right?
I don't even, maybe he's 40. Maybe, I don't even know how old he is, but yeah, he's.
I know he's younger than we are.
Yes, he is.
But I don't even think he's 50 yet. And if he is, he just turned it.
Right.
Because he was a boy genius yeah. and a boy stealer.
Yes.
I saw that movie. he he wants to make money.
Yeah.
I mean, even though he doesn't need it anymore, because right. why would you at that point?
Exactly.
Just invest.
Yeah.
Just walk away. Invest in things and then be happy. But he's that kind of person.
He's
that's
only
like, okay,
39.
He wants to make more money.
Wait, he's 39 than, years old. So he's not even 40 yet.
He's still not even 40?
Yeah.
Fuck. Motherfucker, man. I wish I knew how to write code. So, boy, I'd be in a different house. I like my house. Anyway, no, I think he wants to make money and be kind of, you know, he's got a God complex too.
Yes, he does.
He's just slightly more sane. And right. I mean that slightly, emphasis on the slightly more sane than Elon is. And I also think that Mark Zuckerberg also might be on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him testify. He's quirky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll give it that.
He does have more sense than Elon. He definitely has more sense.
He's smarter than Elon.
Yes.
Just end of statement. He's way smarter than Elon Musk. Because guess who hasn't lost money after his platform has been around for almost 20 years now?
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
So, and Jack's not going to start anything new with whatever the fuck he started. Because everybody's like, fuck you, Jack. You sold it to Elon.
Right. Yeah, fuck you, Jack. Well, I mean, I'm still saying, you know, I hope that Spoutable, I don't expect it to replace Twitter. I think Threads is kind of doing that right now to a degree. But I just like, you know, I again said this to Jay Arnold. I think it's going to be its own thing. But I think what's going to happen, it'll be interesting, because if indeed Mark Zuckerberg throttles our political speech on Threads in 2024, the fucking last place to go for us is going to be Spoutable. And by that time, Boozy is going to have, you know, added way more features. There's a whole bunch of features now. I think right now you can cross post on other, like, I think Mastodon and Post. And, you know, I don't know what the other websites are involved, but you can cross post there. And then on top of it, that is the one site that's going to take care of disinformation. It's going to take care of all those trolls. So it'll just be interesting. I know he's playing the long game, and I know I've had conversations with him, you know, private conversations that, of course, I can't talk about. But all I can say is he understands what's coming. He was aware certain things were going to happen, and he planned for them. So he isn't going into this with this naive idea that, oh, I'm going to take over the world. He's just like slow and steady, slow and steady, slow and steady. And, you know,
that's what wins the race, man. Does. That's Fox News, man. They lost money for how many years?
Yeah.
Right. On purpose.
Yeah. Wow. So
Rupert Murdoch was like, fine, I'll lose money as long as it's on the lower tier of cable. Everybody has to get it.
Yes.
Whereas MSNBC, you have to pay extra for.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yes. MSNBC is on a different tier. If you just get basic cable, Fox is on there. And that's losing money. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're losing money like crazy these days. But back in the day, before they started making money, he was like, I'm fine with losing money for the next 5-6 years. I'm fine. I just want it there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Smart.
Yeah. And it is. And so, I don't know. I think so. Do you think X is going to die like early next year? How long do you think it's going to take?
I'm thinking the spring.
Yeah, because
he's bought it what, a year and a half ago now,
right, yeah.
Or is it 2 years now?
No, I think it was last October. It was October 2022 when you came to visit.
Okay, so it's been a year. So yeah, I'm thinking April, May.
Right.
He's gonna have to sell, and he's gonna sell it for like to Tom for $100 million, and Tom's gonna be like, MySpace is back. You know, it's gonna be. Oh, Tom. He made money. He was smart.
Yes.
No, it's just like, dude, we're going to be able to buy it from Fox. Like, Fox bought MySpace from Tom. And then, what's his face? From NSYNC. Justin Timberlake bought MySpace from Fox for like a song, literally.
Oh, and I, you know, I remember feeling so upset about Twitter, and I still am, but I don't know. I guess we just have to roll with how it's going to go. And I wish it was either like it all went away or it just all got better, because I don't know that social media is really helping us at this point, but
it's not.
We're in
it. No, we're too stupid to have it.
Yeah. We're too stupid, and it's pretty sad, but Oh, well. Okay. Now, the last political question, I do want to ask you some stuff about the holidays, but I want to gauge where you are with Mike Johnson. I think some people are underestimating his power, but I'm also wondering if the shit that he's saying is unbelievable. There's a video of him today talking about, I think it was...
Blurring the faces of the January 6th participants.
Oh, blurring the faces. That's right. Yesterday, about, you know, the Bible and how we all have to be Christian or whatever he said. I don't listen to every single thing he said. But yeah, he was talking about blurring out. How did he say it?
We have to blur them so that they don't get arrested.
It's
a soundbite that I just grabbed. That they don't get, arrested, basically. Right.
Yeah.
So what faces are you blurring? Yours?
Yeah.
Marge's? Lauren's? Whose faces are you fucking blurring, you asshole?
Yeah.
They did something wrong, I want the FBI to be able to identify them.
Yeah.
And mark my words, the FBI has all that footage anyway, but still.
Yes. But he's just putting on a show. And so I'm just wondering, how do you think this speakership is going to play out through next year into election for election day? Like, how do you think he's going to affect 2024?
Well, first off, none of us has to worry as long as we all vote for a Democratic House, because they get seated before January 6th.
Right.
They get seated on the 3rd. So if we vote for a Democratic House, he's not a worry at all.
Okay.
Just Hakeem Jeffries will be our speaker. Things will be done right. Done. Okay. That's the first issue everybody needs to shut the fuck up about. We need to just vote because they get seated 3 days earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I think that the mainstream GOP doesn't like him, because all these stories that are coming out seem to be undermining him.
Hmm.
And it could be McCarthy doing it.
Yeah, true.
You know, and it's very interesting, because apparently he's fine with the new budget. It's like, okay, cool. Wasn't that why we fired McCarthy?
Right.
I mean, it's very interesting how he's working things. But again, he went down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring, as they do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of GOP guys are leaving. They're not even seeking re-election.
Yeah.
So it opens up seats for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
He scares the crap out of me, because he looks so nice.
I know.
You know.
Yeah,
he looks like a little nerd.
Yeah, he's like Glenn Youngkin, you know, Mr. Sweater Vest.
But Glenn Youngkin got his ass.
He
was
did.
Whooped.
He did. And that's good to know, because that's the stuff that keeps me from going completely insane, is that, you know, I keep wanting to remind myself, as scary as everything is, since Trump won, every election that we've had has been favorable for the Democrats. Even if the Democrats haven't had a blue wave, it's been favorable for the Democrats.
Yeah.
So
and
I hope
and
that
that's
sticks.
We Gen Z. Hi, thank you guys.
I know so much. Thank you.
Gen X, we're trying, but we're disregarded all the time. They just forget about us. It's the boomers, millennials, or Gen Z. We are just overlooked because that's how we were raised. We were. You guys can fend for yourselves. We're good. But literally, the Gen Zers are going to save us all, because they have the past several election cycles. And for people, now they're trying to suppress their vote. You know, student IDs, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
They don't want kids voting.
No. Because kids see what's happening and they understand. Hey, I want to be able to have
And they're
an abortion.
Voting this time, unlike our generation or even the millennials and certainly not the boomers.
No.
It's been these generation, the Gen Zers are voting at 18.
Yeah.
They're not voting at 25 like I did.
Right.
You know, they're voting now as soon as they can vote. And that's new.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's freaking the GOP out.
Well, they should fucking know. I mean, they are so good at messaging. They understand American psychology very well. Okay, not of necessarily progressives and liberals, but they know how to get the people who are not even paying attention or what are they use fear and all of it. And you would think that they realize that all of the shit that they're saying that's so extreme is going to be turning off young people. But how can this be surprising to them? I guess it's because they're so fucking out of touch. They're just so used to being able to get away with this shit. And they just never came up with a plan to deal with the young people. I don't know. But it just blows my mind how they can't see how this extreme talk is not good for them.
They don't have policy. They just want tax breaks and power. That's it.
Yeah.
Couldn't care less about anything else.
Yeah.
They don't care if you can get an abortion or not. Are you fucking kidding me?
No, they don't care. They don't care.
They don't care. They don't care. I mean, go get one. You know, just be rich. You can afford it.
Right.
You know, you can leave the state or the country or whatever.
Yeah.
Because back in the, you know, before 73, it was leaving the country.
Yeah. Jesus.
I mean, New York passed abortion rights. And so, Ronald Reagan helped pass abortion rights in California as a governor, by the way.
I don't know.
I met him once.
Fucking, it's just, okay. So I don't want to talk about politics anymore because we're coming up to the close of the show and I only want to talk about fun things. And politics makes me crazy right now. I think this year has been, as a social media manager for, you know, MSW Media, my attention during the day is, even though it's all on politics, it's kind of on what I'm doing, which is promoting podcasts and whatnot. So even though I am aware of what's going on, it's been easier for me to kind of, I don't know, like not avoid it, but not stress about it in the same way.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, it's like I've learned this year pretty much how to compartmentalize. And
hey, girl,
ain't easy, but I'm working on it. So just to switch over, I want to know, what are you guys doing for the holidays?
Well, we are going to see my mom on the 26th, mm-hmm. and there's a possibility that Lonnie's mom and stepdad are going to come here mm-hmm. for Christmas.
Oh, that'll be fun.
We spent Thanksgiving at my brother John, whose birthday is today, his house. I'm more of a Thanksgiving person than a Christmas person. So if I don't have to go anywhere on Christmas, I'm super happy.
Why are you a Thanksgiving person and not a Christmas? As not as much of a Christmas person.
Thanksgiving, there's no expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Just show up, be thankful.
Right.
And I'm not going to get into Native American issues with Thanksgiving. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
It's just show up. Have a nice time with your family and friends, eat, and then go home.
Right.
Whereas Christmas, presents.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing I literally said, I got this from Paula Poundstone. Your attendance is required.
Yes.
At a ping pong party on New Year's Eve. So on December 30th, my friend Paul's birthday, I'm going over to Paula Poundstone's for a ping pong party. It's very much alliteration. Paula Poundstone's ping pong party.
Oh my God, that's so awesome. Is Stephanie going to go?
She will be out of town, but her lovely lady, Fanny Sitka, will be there.
Oh, cool.
Because she's like, are you guys going? I'm like, yeah, I'm required. I have to go. It's in the invite. Literally required to go. So that's I RSVP'd on the phone. This is how old school she is. First off, she mailed it with a stamp and everything.
Uh-huh.
Not kidding. It was a mail. I love her so much. And so I called the number, which is her assistant's phone, and I said, hi, I'm required to RSVP, so I'm totally coming.
Okay, wait a minute. So now, how long have you known Paula?
Not long. That's what's weird.
Huh.
Okay, so she talked on her, I listened to her podcast, right?
Uh-huh.
Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone, which is amazing. If you don't listen to it, do. Secondly, so I was listening to her show, and she was talking about how she only had like 10 cats anymore.
Only.
So at one point, she had 18.
Oh, wow.
And she has two dogs. And so she's like, I'm looking for kittens. And our neighbor, you know, 10th of a mile away, he and his husband, they had this feral cat who had kittens. And so she's like, oh, my God. And then she goes, oh, Lily Tomlin wants a calico. I said, I think they have one. It was a whole, like, weird, I'm emailing comics, weirdly, about these cats. Ms. Tomlin did not take, she and Jane, her partner, did not take the calico. Aww. But Paula took two of the cats.
Really? Wow, that's cool.
She came over here once, and then we walked over there, and then she came over there several times. And she calls them the Vandals. She was, that's how we kind of, like, I saw her following me on Twitter. I'm like, why is Paula Pound still following me?
Because you're cool.
No, but she's, like, super famous. I'm like, why is she following me? Like, when I found out, like, certain other people, I'm like, who, why are you following me? You're super famous. I'm not. Why are you following me? When I found out Mary Trump was following me, I'm like, why is Mary following me?
I know.
Me?
She followed me and I almost shit my pants. Holy crap.
Oh my God. Mary's amazing. And it was like, wait, Mary Trump is following me and I'm not following her?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I know that she just went around and followed people. I mean, I think it, because I remember, you know, Bob had said that she followed him, and then I looked and she followed. I was like, oh my God, she follows me too. So I think she was just, you know, one day going around going, okay, who are all the liberal
people? But she actually said she listened to my podcast.
Wow. Oh my God, that's so cool.
She's like, no honey, I've been listening to From the Bunker. I'm like, what? But you listen to my little show? And then when Ricky died, when Rick Beatty passed away, she was so sweet. She sent me the sweetest condolence. Oh. I mean, she was like, I'm so sorry about Rick. And it's like, so am I, but he would love that you knew who he was.
Right.
Wow. You know? It's like, she's a dear. I love Mary.
I know. Well, I think we all love Mary. I mean, she's so amazing. And the fact that she is doing what she's doing, I think everybody just appreciates her so much. But everybody loves you. And of course, that's because you're so cool. I mean, I know that all the people who listen to my show are going to be like, oh my God, Jody. Everybody loves when Jody's on, and they always bug me and they're like, more Jody, please. And so
that's sweet. Normally, I will send them all the checks.
Well, and normally now I only do my shows on Thursday, although I can make, I can always make an exception for you. But since you have this new gig, it's harder to get you on because you are on Bob Seska's show on Thursdays.
Yes,
and
I am.
You know, down the line, we'll just, you know, I'll do a show on like a Tuesday or Wednesday. That way you can make it. And, you know, but I'm just grateful that you were the person to end this 2023 year with me, because as much as, like I said, you know, I'm stressing out and everything, and I'm trying to keep as happy as I can. So I thought, well, who can I pick that's a happy guest? It's like, of course it's Jody. Aww. And I haven't had you on since April, so yay. And then, just, you know, I asked you what you were doing for Christmas, and you already, I don't even know what I'm doing for Christmas. I think if my mother feels better, the plan, actually Sherry Jacobus is going to come to her house.
Wow.
And it's just going to be Bob and me and her on Christmas Eve. And then I think our plan is that on the 23rd, we're going to go to his brother's house, and then my mother's house on the 24th, and then my father's house on Christmas Day. And then it'll all be over. But I don't know, because I don't know how long it's going to take her knee to heal. And I don't know how long I can, you know, will I be able to leave her for a certain amount of hours? That I'm just going to have to determine that as the, you know, days progress. So I don't know what I'm doing for the holiday. We'll find out. I'm going to be taking care of my mom or not. That's what I'll be doing. I will be taking care of her up until at least. So, you know, there is that. But I'm always grateful when you're on the show. I'm grateful for your friendship. Everybody loves you, Jody. You're such a good person, and you need to know that. And that's why the famous people follow you, because you're such a good person. And everyone loves you.
Well, I just want Eve Plum to follow me now.
Who? Oh, Eve Plum. I know. Dear Jan Brady. Oh, my God. And it's fucking Jan. I'm so, you know, obviously everybody's joking that it's not Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. And it's like, but Jan is so fucking special. You know, she was the middle
child.
No,
Marsha follows me on Twitter.
Really? Oh, my God. She doesn't follow me.
Maureen McCormick is so cute. She totally is like, Jody, I love you, and I love your mom, and I love that you love Florence. I mean, she's like the sweetest.
Actually, and my ex-boyfriend met her. I think that's... Oh, wait, I have a quick story before I let you go, because I just couldn't believe this fucking happened now that I say ex-boyfriend. Okay, hold on. Okay, so the other day I was in the grocery store, and there was this man and a woman, and it appeared they were a couple, right? So they're shopping, and I see them, and he's very tall. So I don't, you know, I just see them, and then I'm walking around doing my shopping, and then he was alone, and he was, you know, getting bread or something, and I almost hit him with my shopping cart. So, you know, I said, you know, oh, excuse me. But then I said, I'm like, you're tall. And I mean, for me to say that, because fucking everyone says that to me. So, you know, it's really got to be a tall person for me to say you're tall. So I'm like, damn, you're tall, or something like that. So then he goes, I'm 6'6", as if 6'6 isn't that tall.
6'6 is tall.
Yeah, it's really tall. So then I said something like, oh, yeah, my ex-boyfriend was 6'6 or something like that. So anyway, that was it. That was our little, you know, back and forth. And then I'm in line. And again, he's alone now. His significant other is around the store shopping somewhere. So he slides up next to me. He's like, hey, you maybe want to talk sometime? And I was just like, what? And so I was very friendly, and I, you know, I said, thank you. No, I'm in a relationship, which I shouldn't have to explain, but that's the best way to get, but that's the best way to get rid of them. I have found that I don't care that I shouldn't have to explain, but when you tell them they have a boyfriend, they fucking leave you alone. So, so I always say that. And then like, I'm leaving and I see the two of them, and it was like, I'm not going to go up to her and ruin her Christmas, but I just thought, what an asshole.
Yeah.
But, you know, anyway.
No, he is a dick.
And Bob's like, you should have gone up to her and told him. I'm like, I know, but it would have ruined her holiday, or it would have just really pissed her off because she knows he's a dog, and it would have been another, you know, another woman fucking telling on him. So I don't know, but it's like, don't do that, men. Please don't do that, especially if you're with a woman. Because you know how many fucking times that's happened? You know who did that to me? Bill Pullman. I was sitting at the this was only supposed to be a short story. I got to shut up after this. But I was sitting at the Derby, right? And I was talking. I was at the Derby at the bar, which is a bar which no longer exists in LA.
I remember the bar with Dax and everybody that worked there.
Yes. And so I was talking to some English guy. And where we were seated, it was kind of looking across. And there was Bill Pullman. And he was standing on the other side of the room. And Bill was with, I believe it was his wife. I mean, I don't know. I know I looked him up and he was married at the time. So I don't know. I guess it was his wife. And he was just staring at me to the point where the English guy was like, dude, that he didn't know he was Bill Pullman, but he's like, that man is totally staring at you. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I've noticed. So then Bill like makes his way to where he's standing right next to, well, he's in back of me because I'm facing the bar. And then he put his back against my back while I was talking to another man. He put his entire back up against mine and was just rubbing all around. And the crazy thing was, I never even acknowledged him. I just, because the guy, the British guy that I was talking to was looking at me going, what the fuck is going on? And I'm like, I don't know. And so we just pretended it didn't happen. And then he left. Isn't that weird? Isn't that like the weirdest fucking Bill Pullman story? Which I love Bill Pullman, by the way. Like, I love
do.
Him.
He drank tab in the Zero movie. Zero effect.
He drank tab. Oh, poor Jody. No more tab.
All full of tab. That's it.
For all of you that don't know, Jody, he was a big tab fan.
Dude, I mean, seriously, when Ben Stiller opens up the fridge, because he was his assistant in the film, it's just full of tab.
Oh my God, that's so fucking funny. I wonder if that was because it was his preference in real life, or if it was just like a movie joke. Who knows?
I don't know. I just find it hilarious because Bob Boothwaite and Frank Beard from ZZ Top also drank tab like
God,
I
that's hilarious.
Did. In fact, when I would go see ZZ Top, because my sister lived with Frank and his wife when she got sober the first time, Carrie, Frank always had tab. I'm like, oh, I love you. And so I would go like see them play, and like, Frank, where's the stash? And he would just point it. It's over there.
Well, what do you drink now that there's no more tab available?
Coke Zero.
It's not the same, is it?
It's similar.
Okay.
It's not as bad as Coke, Diet Coke. Ugh, that's just nasty. It's just too sweet.
Yeah. What about Diet
Pepsi? It literally
Pepsi?
Is too sweet.
Do you like Diet Pepsi?
I preferred it over Diet Coke.
Me too.
And I prefer Coke Zero over Diet Pepsi, and we had friends when I was my parents had friends, the Luptons, and they were Coca-Cola bottlers. Hmm. Okay, so made their fortune doing that amongst many other things. And I'm like, if Coke ever discontinues tap, I mean, you don't mind Diet Pepsi. And Mr. and Mrs. Lepton were like, don't you dare.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Oh, well, at least you found something that pretty much does the job. So I've been.
It does. It's better than Diet Coke. Diet Coke's way sweet.
Yeah, it is. I don't like Diet Coke.
It's super sweet.
Yeah, if I was going to drink any diet drink that would be cola, it would be Pepsi. I can't really drink soda though, because if I drink it, I get crazy night sweats. So I just don't drink that.
Oh, then don't do that.
No.
Yeah, menopause sucks.
Yeah, menopause really sucks. All right. Well, on that note, let's just say happy holidays. Menopause sucks and happy holidays, people. And then, of course, like I always ask all of my guests, and this will be the last I ask this year, how do we find you?
Well, at the Twitter, which I will call it its dead name until it dies, at From the Bunker Jr. And on the Threads, same, but I'm Jody Hamilton there, so it's still at From the Bunker Jr. because of Ricky. And that's about it.
Wait, no.
And StephanieMiller.com, you can find me there.
But you're also...
And please email me that I suck.
Yeah, oh, that's always fun. But you're also Joe Ham on... Is it Ham or Hams?
Oh, I was Hammy. God. I don't do the Facebook for the publics.
No, Spoutable.
Oh, Spoutable. I'm Joe Ham.
Joe Ham. Okay, there you go. And is that one M or two M's? I can't remember.
I believe it's one. And that was Robert from Florida. Joe Ham's. Yeah.
And then I have all of your, I think almost all of your linked, you're linked in the Patreon description of this show. So if anybody wants to find you, just go to this show, click on the links, and there's Jody. And then, of course, I am author Kimberly, or I am Kimberly with an L-E-Y and Johnson on Threads. So that's where you can find me. I hate going through the list. So, oh my God, Jody, I love you. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Happy Kwanzaa. All of those. Happy Hanukkah. Whatever y'all celebrate.
Yes. Happy everything. Happy New Year. And let's turn it into a blue wave, please. Let's save democracy.
Yes, please.
All right, Jody, you take care.
All right, honey, you too.
Bye-bye.